we've looked at it from the Yankee angle, Bricks. We got to look at it from the O's. Young team, kind of been fighting scrappy all year, but that is a devastating loss. Do you think it has any impact on the O's going forward?
You'd well, like
going
to,
forward,
you'd like
this
to,
one game.
Right, exactly.
Or two.
You'd like to think that it doesn't. You look at guys, I don't think that it's going to affect. I look at a guy in the way that he plays and a guy like Adam Jones, and I just don't see him giving up. I don't see him being one of those dudes that just can't deliver in the moment. I see that in Weeders as well. I think that this is a mentally tough team. Jim Johnson has proven to not be the most mentally tough closer in all of baseball. That's kind of been a bad exposure.
I mean, if the Orioles are down or if the Orioles are up one tonight and, you know, Jim Johnson comes on the mound and he's got Cano, Teixeira, A-Rod, how nervous are you if you're a...
The O's are something like... They were like 72-0.
76, and that's right. They were 76-0 with a lead after seven innings last night.
This is not the time to get that first one.
They had never lost a walk-off game all season and had won 16 straight extra inning games. And all of those streaks go out the door last
and
night
what you
because
gotta,
of Rabanez.
What you need to be concerned with if you're an O's fan is the Cam Newton syndrome. The... Never faced adversity. Oh, here's some adversity. I'm going to do a whole press conference with my eyes closed. That's what you got to be worried about is them sulking.
Is that also called the petulant child paradox?
Yeah, it could be called the petulant child paradox, the rich petulant child paradox. That's true. I think that the reason they can overcome that is because, yes, this season they were 76-0 and didn't face any late-game adversity, didn't lose any tough, heartbreaking ones, but... For the last 20 years,
fair point.
They have been just one piece of walking adversity. The team has they've every bad break they could possibly get, they've delivered.
Right. And look, I think if you're a Yankee or a Yankee fan, I don't think you can go into this game thinking that the O's are going to be down. I think you have to expect them to come out fired up, ready to go, trying to get that measure of revenge. I mean, they're playing for their life tonight.
And let's be real. The O's are house money right now. They are playing with
That's
house
a fair
money.
Point.
They are the Baltimore Orioles with whatever their payroll is going up against the Yankees in the Bronx. You state if you were going to list superstars, household names, you would go 5-6 deep before you
Yankees.
Touched
right.
a Baltimore Oriole.
And Buck Showalter last night in his post-game presser said pretty much just that.
How big is the knot in your stomach?
I've got no knot in my stomach.
Okay, why not?
Why not? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Is that what conventional thinking is? No, they may. But, you know, we don't live in that world. I'm so impressed with all our guys tonight. Played a great game in a tough situation. They'll come out and compete tomorrow.
Now, here's a situation where I want to play some what they wanted to say. And not because I don't believe that that's what Buck means. I think Buck was reserved there. I think that's exactly what Buck means, and if anything, here's what he wanted to say.
How big is the knot in your stomach?
The knot in my stomach? You. Are you kidding
Why
me?
Not?
Shut up, dude. Knot in my stomach? Yeah, all right. Ibanez hit a little home run. They won the game. What a you. I ain't got no knot in my stomach. I'm going to come out here and kick the Yankee ass tomorrow. How you feel about that?
Listen, generally, I agree. I don't think that he's... It's similar to when Jeter got the pressure. I don't feel pressure. It was worry. I don't even remember exactly
right.
what it was. That's a good reference. Something you can't remember. That's Radio
101. Yeah, it was like that time that that guy did that thing.
It's Buck Showalter has been around the block. Now his team hasn't been around the block, which I think actually helps them. Again, I think it's house money. I think Buck is looking at the situation and saying, listen, we lost the game. We got to go back and win the next game. It's baseball. There's nothing in baseball that says you can't go back and win the next game, especially, by the way, with Phil Hughes on the mound.
Right. Now you bring up Hughes, and it leads to this point. Because up to this point...
Phil Hughes is a GOAT. Phil Hughes is a disappointing
Yankee fan. He's the greatest of all time?
No. He's a
Phil
GOAT.
Phil Hughes, greatest
he's
of a, all time. You
a,
heard it here.
He's a dog. He's a bum.
Now,
he's
going come on, you can't
mark
go
my
say
words
that.
Right now.
You can't
Phil
be saying
Hughes
that.
Will get lit up
for real?
Tonight.
You think he's going to get lit up?
He is.
I think he comes
pelfrey.
Out pitch as well. I think he comes out pitch. That's blasphemy, sir.
He is. He's pelfish. He's not entirely pelf. He shows you some great signs, but when you really need him to come through, he
cowers.
He's a coward. He is not a good pitcher.
He's been great.
The guy's
in the playoffs.
A fastball pitcher who can't get above 94.
He's been great in the playoffs. I know he's come out of the pen in those situations.
Okay.
But
it's a little bit of a difference.
I fully admit there's a difference, but you're saying he can't put that sort of an effort together from the starting
pit? I don't think he's good enough. If I have to close out a game, I'm not giving the ball.
Look,
I mean, you don't have an option, which is what the kryptonite of the Yankees is right now. Phil Hughes.
What, you say kryptonite of the Yankees. So far, the Yankees starting pitching has combined to go 24 innings of seven-run ball. Sabathia, 8 2/3, 8 hits. Pettit, 7 innings. Kuroda, 8 1/3. 2 runs, 3 runs, 2 runs.
I'm aware that
that's that's unbelievable starting pitching from this.
Top three. They don't go 4 deep. That's what the kryptonite is numero 4. It's your Nova, who couldn't even crack the postseason lineup. It's Phil Hughes, who is a GOAT, and Yankee fans just...
I disagree. I think you see a good performance out of Hughes.
If you
tonight.
Looked at Phil Hughes, if Phil Hughes was on any other team, or if Phil Hughes was a guy that you signed or you traded for, Yankee fans would not love him. He gets passes all the time because he's the homegrown guy.
I disagree.
Who came in, what he won 18 games with an ERA over 4, and every Yankee fan just mentions the 18 games.
He won a ton of games his first year.
In his only good season.
And he would get a pass because in 2009 he was an instrumental part of that bullpen, and we're going to give him a shot.
That's
I know. That if Major League Baseball hadn't thrown together this ridiculous schedule, that we would be seeing Sabathia tomorrow night tonight instead of Hughes. I understand that. I have confidence in Hughes. I think I'm not looking for him to throw a no-hitter, but I think he could certainly give you 6 innings, 3 runs, and that be enough for
if Hughes goes out and goes six innings, three runs,
the Yankees have to win that
Jabba
game.
Jabba Chamberlain was a more instrumental part of your bullpen in the late 2000s. Are you putting him in right now? Are you just spot starting Jabba?
Because Jabba hasn't been a starter this year, okay? Hughes has been a starter. He's shown the flashes. He's done it before in the playoffs. I understand it was a different role, but he's done it before in the playoffs. I believe in Phil Hughes. I believe in Harvey Dent. I believe in Eli Manning. I believe in Phil Hughes.
I would have started Phelps.
Nah, you're not giving Phelps the ball.
I would give Phelps the ball, especially because Hiroki Kuroda pitched into the ninth inning and CC has pitched into the ninth inning and your bullpen is well rested.
Well, that's the point. If Hughes comes out and puts up 4 runs in 2 innings, you bring in Lowe.
You know what? Lowe would have been a pretty good start.
Stop it.
I wouldn't mind starting Derek Lowe has a great postseason, or a very solid postseason resume. I just think that there is a higher likelihood.
Oh, so now you're all about old guys who have postseason resumes? You couldn't buy any sort of love for Andy Pettit 2 weeks ago.
When being compared to Phil Hughes, yes. I never said I wouldn't start Andy Pettit over Phil Hughes. And by the way, Andy Pettit was no world beater in game 2.
7 innings, 3 runs.
It's pretty good. It's good.
7 innings, 3 runs.
What makes that makes his ERA what? 3.5, almost 4.
You get that from a Yankee starter with this lineup. They got to win that game.
With what lineup? The lineup we were just talking about, how I couldn't get a hit and can't have it has A-Rod in the middle of it.
I'm saying theoretically.
Okay, listen. A great lineup. That's fine. And all the Yankee can't.
You got to try and sit here and crap on Andy Pettit right now.
I'm not. I'm just saying he didn't. People were talking about him like he's great. He took the L. He did not pitch well enough to win, so don't tell me 7 innings, 3 with this lineup, because he had that lineup, and he didn't win the game with those numbers.
I know, and my point isn't that loss lays at the feet of Pettit. It lays at the feet of 900 guys stranded on base and you know, Jeter grounded into a double play with runners in scoring position and guys not being able to drive people home.
7 innings, 3 earned in the postseason is solid. It's not great. So don't try to tell me
did I say great?
He had a great
start. I
said
solid.
Now, listen, Phil Hughes, at his best, will give you probably 7-3. I think he has a higher likelihood than a guy like David Phelps of coming in and just getting rocked. I don't think
Phelps is going to
get rocked.
Yeah, but you're not putting Phelps on the mound here in his first postseason start. Right, first taste of the postseason. You're going to throw Phelps out there.
Everybody,
I'd rather have a guy who's been there.
Here's my
in
question.
The playoffs and before in here.
That's one of my most frustrating talking points that people mention all the time. When is there a no pressure playoff situation to ease a guy in? When is that? That does not happen. It's the playoffs. You can't, well, he's got no playoff experience, because you won't put him in.
Right. So when you have the opportunity to play to start a guy who's had that experience, who's been there, who's been on the mound in Yankee Stadium in October,
Phil Hughes have the velocity that he had 3 years ago?
No.
Which is odd, by the way, because he's not old. He should be in his prime. But no, he does not have the same velocity. He was a fastball pitcher. Now he is a fastball pitcher with a mediocre fastball. Maybe a slightly above average fastball that does not fly. I think if Phil Hughes a couple years ago he could shut it down. Phil could go 7 or 8 innings, no earned, or he could go 4 innings, 5 earned, and be out of the game. I think right now he doesn't have the shutdown. He doesn't have the ceiling of shutdown, but he does have the potential to get rocked.
I think we see a solid performance at a Houston.
You think the series goes 5? I think it goes 5.
I'm not making a prediction. All my Yankee predictions end up horribly for me.
I can respect
that. I invite the jinx. I'm not going there. Let's look at some of the other series real quick. Nationals in a Game 4. We teased it before the break. Wow. I mean, what a disaster this has become if they lose tonight. With no Strasburg.
Listen, I said it.
Starting pitching could have been used the last 2 games, and they gave up, I think, 12 and 8, respectively.
I said it numerous times. This would be an issue in the clubhouse. It would certainly play, and that was overlooked. These guys are professionals, and limit for Adam LaRoche? Listen, if you're a guy like Adam LaRoche, you know what you're thinking? You're thinking, yeah, I want to win it for Adam LaRoche. This is my chance to get a ring.
You know who would help? Strasburg. Yeah. He might be a help right now.
Yeah, I think it's unbelievable. I have to imagine that Strasburg's pretty stressed. Think about what this is mentally doing to Steven Strasburg. Right. Watching his team potentially lose because, not 100% because he's not there, but quite possibly a major factor.
And a lot was made. He was on the field yesterday, like warming up. Like, Strasburg, dude, take that into the batting cage. Right?
Yeah, man.
Don't tease your fans. They're on like a razor's edge enough. They don't need you out on the field. Like, maybe they're gonna bring him back.
Blue balls, no. And we lost. Listen, you have to blame a guy like Jordan Zimmermann, who got rocked, who looked good all season. Gio Gonzalez almost won the Cy Young. Well, may still win the Cy Young. And
you
he's
got
out
that
there.
In the bag for Dickie,
he's walking
you?
Everybody in his first start.
Giants and the Reds. That series goes to a Game 5. But they're playing that game at 1:00. That's a 10 a.m.
you
start
know,
for people out in San Francisco.
I hadn't even thought about
that's
that.
That's a poor go.
It's like
brunch with the Giants and Reds tonight.
I was talking about this. Listen, I went to school out in Ohio. I had a lot of Cincinnati Red fan friends of mine. I was talking to some of them on GChat today. Because they're all at work. You imagine anything more frustrating than having to be at work? And it's not like, okay, it's a 4:15 start. I'm going to miss the first 4 innings. You're missing the
entire
game.
If you're in San Francisco. You get an hour of that game on your lunch break because the game starts during brunch. Are we kidding?
By the way, does everybody in San Francisco eat brunch?
I have a feeling. It just seems like a San Francisco culture. Where it's just like, everybody get up, have breakfast. All right, work stops. Let's go eat brunch.
You don't have breakfast and eat brunch.
I think they do in San Francisco. I think brunch is just a social thing.
They're very thin in San Francisco.
They're probably doing the brunch, so they're not fatting themselves. No, it's like that South Beach diet thing where they're eating 5 small meals a day.
What?
Breakfast, brunch, lunch, half dinner, dinner.
So you're saying it's like a snack brunch.
Right, over there, the Taco Bell commercials are 6th meal.
Like little like scrambled eggs and sausage and a pita. I think that's probably what they eat in San
And like
Francisco.
Probably it may be like one of those cigarettes with like the plastic tip on the end that makes it like 12 feet long.
I don't think they smoke cigarettes in San Francisco.
Sorry, that's France.
You're turning San Fran into France very quickly. I just think, and I have a problem with Bud Selig here. I understand that the Yankees are the Yankees and the Yankees should be in prime. The Yankees are playing a Game 4. The Reds are playing a Game 5. The only way that you and people talk about how baseball is becoming a localized game, which is a huge concern if you're the commissioner because you don't want that to happen, and it is happening. The only way that you can prevent that from happening is giving prime national exposure to the other teams. The Cincinnati Reds have stars. They have Joey Votto is one of the best players in baseball. Brandon Phillips is a dynamic Twitter personality and a very good second baseman. And Aroldis Chapman throws the ball 105
miles
an hour.
Right.
You need these guys to be on prime, not 1:00. Any Game 5 should trump a Game 4 if I were the commissioner.
Speaking of Game 5, the other dramatic game last night, the A's force it taking down the Tigers. Just real quick, who wins that series? Game five.
Justin Verlander's on the mound. The best possible thing if the Yankees win this series is that the A's came back and wasted a Verlander start.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get into some NFL, a little claim, some NHL lockout. It's cover two.